Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our producer, Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, whoopee, January 17th, 2014. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. Just think about it. A year ago this weekend, we were battling those temperatures, trying to break freezing on some days, like in the 20s, 17 degrees. Boy, but my garden really loves this kind of weather. It's perfect for the geraniums. We are live streaming at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. I want to do a quick shout-out to our media partners, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and BlogForArizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, State Representative Ethan Orr. Mr. Orr is a Democrat from Tucson's Republican. How could I make such a mistake, Ethan? Of course you're a Republican.
I've been called worse, so.
Sorry about that. Joining me to question Republican Representative Orr is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment that you would like to share with all of us, call the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Also, we have a very active Facebook page, and newcomers are welcome, and we're easy to find. If you know my name, Bill Buckmaster, you can find us on Facebook. Ladies first, Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
Looking good, and always a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Ethan, good to see you. You've had your first very busy week of this legislative session, and hope things are going well so far.
The session is off to a really good start. A lot of the bitterness that people thought would be there really was not present this week at all. It was very cordial among both Republicans and Democrats, and even within the split within the Republican caucus, I think we're really trying to get along. I think that's going to last at least for the next couple of weeks.
I hope so. Maybe it'll last. Maybe a month. That would be great.
I'm hoping, but yeah. I think, and I don't even think there was an overarching reason. I think people, frankly, after the bitterness of last session, want to come together. It has been a very pleasant surprise how much people want to work together.
And again, this year, Governor Brewer had a surprise in her State of the State address announcing that Child Protective Services is being dissolved and replaced with a new agency called Child Safety and Family Services, handling child welfare cases in Arizona. Now, the governor can dissolve CPS, but the legislature still has to approve this new cabinet-level
agency. Yes, it does. And I think that cabinet-level will be approved. Mm-hmm. She's also going to be asking, her budget's going to be unveiled today, but I've heard figures as high as $108 million. We'll see what's in the budget, probably about $50, $60 million. More than, and I'm working with Kate Brophy McGee on an additional package of bills, because taking it out may be a good start, but if I take a mess of problems out of one agency and don't resolve those problems, the problems, frankly, are still there. And what I've been pushing for this entire year is, what are my criteria? What are my performance matrix? What am I funding? What are my queuing protocols? How is the agency interacting with the many good nonprofits that we have?
So the new cabinet level position, that will probably be a done deal, easily approved. But then it's the kind of
the increased funding levels. But I mean, for example, with Clarence Carter, when I met with him a few months ago,
the
former director, you know, and I basically said, okay, if you're asking for any additional money, what are the indicators that tell me this is a healthy organization or an unhealthy organization? What's your 5-year retention among caseworkers? What percentage of money is going to the line staff and time versus administration? What's the caseload compared to the national averages? These are the numbers that we need to know, and we need to know if they're trending right or wrong.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star into the conversation.
Along those same lines, the governor used the word abolish CPS, and it's in the executive order. And so from what I've been hearing is, and I just want to clarify, that a lot of people think there's just no more CPS. Everyone gets their kids returned, and we're done. Can you talk a bit about what this actually means in real life?
Well, it really, thank you for mentioning that. In terms of the function of the organization, it doesn't mean a whole lot. You're still going to have workers whether they're named CPS or something else, that when there is a child in danger, we as a community, and I believe everyone agrees, have an obligation to help that child. Those workers will still be there. They'll still be returning the calls, and they will still be taking children out of homes and getting them appropriate care. It's just really, do they report to Charles Flanagan, who reports to the governor, or do they report to Clarence Carter and a number of other agencies who reports to the governor? So really, the function has been set aside. But at this point, unless we change things, which I'm trying to do, there is no, there's no substantial change to what's happening on the ground.
Do you think that there's the feeling among your colleagues up at the legislature to make considered changes rather than just, you know, scrap everything or do this or do that, something that involves sitting down, thinking things through, looking at other models?
Yes. And I believe this actually gives us, and again, I've been working with other members on this as well, this gives us an opportunity because DES is not simply Child Protective Services. There's Division of Development Disabilities, Vocational Rehabilitation, all these other agencies that frankly have been neglected over the years. And so one of the things that we're also going to be doing is creating a study committee to look at what's left and how that can function. And many of these agencies still need to interact with Child Protective Services because that's where the real resources are.
Mm-hmm. All right, 12:11 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Jim on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim, you're with Ethan Orr, Republican from Tucson's District.
Jim,
9.
How you doing?
Jim I Kelly. Am doing well, Ethan. It's good to have you back on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
So listen, Dr. Ward put in a bill yesterday that will separate out the legal definitions of hemp and marijuana. Will you be supporting that bill so that we can start growing industrial hemp in Arizona?
Well, I think what you're dealing with in terms of that definition, it needs to be addressed because there's actually two definitions of marijuana in the law. One is the Title 13 that existed, and the other is the voter-approved Medical Marijuana Act. And what we have is chaos on the ground because you have literally people have chosen what they're good for. The prosecutors and the police have chosen which one they want to go with based on political preferences. So what's legal in the city of Tempe is not legal in the city of Phoenix. So more than anything else, I hate chaos in our system. I think this is, everyone says we don't want to end up like Santa Cruz. This is how we end up by Santa Cruz, by having two entirely different definitions and having people confused as to what's legal. It shouldn't be illegal on one side of the street and legal on the other. So I would support any cleanup language. In fact, I'm also running, I've been working in the interim behind the scenes with Director Will Humble to try and bring some order to this system. I'm going to be running another bill. We were talking about school resource officers. When I went through the budget last year, I found $6.5 million that there's never been legislatively authorized to spend, and so I'm actually running a bill to use some of that money to fund school resource officers to do drug prevention and introduction programs in our high schools. So this is a something that we need to get right, particularly with what's happening in Colorado and particularly what's going to be happening in our state in 2016.
The Star had a front page story about minimum required car insurance could go up, premiums too. That was the headline, the Star headline. You are running a bill,
yes,
sponsoring a bill that would change, I guess, the minimum required coverage. What does that mean to those of us who, and hopefully everyone has auto insurance, but what does it mean, what or potentially could it mean to the consumer?
To most of us, it actually will probably mean a reduction because most people don't have the bare coverage, the bare minimum coverage. So, for example, I have underinsured and mm-hmm. uninsured, and I have the maximum. And so by increasing this, my insurance rates will probably go down. So we're dealing with about 10 to 15% of the population that has chosen to have the bare minimum coverage. No one's sure what will happen in terms of the rate. I've heard estimates from a few dollars a month to $10, as high as $10 a month. But what really happens is, and this is why I'm running the bill, if you're going to have a law that says you're protected, but those protection levels aren't enough you might as well not have the law. And when I got involved in bicycle and pedestrian safety, and I'm running a whole other series of bills as well, I can't tell you the number of people that I've met that were in traffic accidents or were hit on bikes, and that $15,000 just didn't cover it.
So it's just not enough.
It's just not enough, and it hasn't been changed.
So this would go up to
$25,000. Yeah. And if you look at the equivalent in dollar-to-dollar, inflation-adjusted dollars, really what was $15,000 42 years ago when the bill was passed would be about $85,000 now. So it's a very small increase. In fact, we're one of the lowest. The only state that I know of that has lower insurance is Florida, and oddly enough, they have the highest uninsured rates.
Hmm. All right, Ethan Orr is with us. Rose, I think this is a good time to take a break. We're in between topics. When we come back, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, the star, I'm sure we'll have a question for Representative Ethan Orr, Republican, representing District 9. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
I'm Tony Penn, President and CEO of the United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. We can help you receive all the tax credits and deductions for which you are eligible. We're putting thousands of dollars back into our local economy. For more information, visit UnitedWayTucson.org or call 211.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Don Pooley.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Doug Martin.
I thought I just saw you at...
Diana Cannon.
Thanks for coming.
David Sleuth.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're...
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at ArizonaCulligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Tucson Desert Art Museum.
Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
If you are a low to moderate income family or individual, you can get your taxes filed for free. With United Way's Tax Preparation Program, IRS certified volunteers help prepare and file your state and federal income taxes. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org or call 211.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1219. Are you in the market for a licensed, bonded, and insured person who can do all your interior painting, drywall repair, insurance restoration, and carpentry? I have just the gentleman for you. Chris Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, and his team specialize in all of the above. Check it out, MoncadaConstruction.com. They welcome credit cards. Here's the number, 520-390-2247. Joining us on our Friday Focus interview, Ethan Orr, Republican representing District 9 in the Tucson area, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Sarah is up to the plate now.
Well, thank you for the baseball analogy. Thank you. I would like to get a little more information about the Arnold v. Sarn behavioral health settlement. The governor referenced it under State of the State. Mm-hmm. It's a lawsuit that's been going on forever.
33 years.
And the settlement, I think, from what I understand, is mostly focused in Maricopa County, but that there will be benefits throughout the state. Could you give us some details on what that means and if there's any changes and what people in the behavioral health system in Tucson will experience?
I don't think there will be much change because, I mean, the agreement that the government made, which is actually, I think, one of her legacy achievements, having worked in the mental health field for the past 10 years, this is something that kind of colored almost every decision that administrators had to make because they were under a court order. What the agreement the government made, particularly in terms of funding and support levels, is largely the same or actually enhanced. And if any future governor or legislature were to not live up to those agreements, then the case could be open, and I think it would be very quickly the legislator would be under the injunction. Mm-hmm. The reason I like this so much isn't because, so there really won't be much change on the ground. If there is a change, there would be some slight enhancements, but I've talked to, for example, leaders at CPSA and some of our other RIVAs, and there really will not be much change for people and families with mental illness. But what it does is it does give us some administrative flexibility and the ability to do some things that maybe people wanted to, but you either had to get a judge ruling or you just couldn't because of the court order. So there's flexibility, but I don't see those funding or support levels going down. In fact, I see them going up.
When you talk about the funding levels, I know that behavioral health services have been cut dramatically.
Yes.
Over the past several years. So are we talking about not going down below current levels or what where we started?
Really not going down below current levels. And I do see, again, we're all anticipating the governor unveiling her budget this afternoon. I know no one has talked a lot about mental health, but I would bet that there will be an increase of some sort in there.
Okay, you mentioned the governor will unveil her spending plan at 3 o'clock, I believe, up at the state capitol. She'll be having a news conference, and then next week the legislative team, the economists, will weigh in. That's called the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, and then the two sides will kind of come together, hopefully, and hammer out a budget. You mentioned at the beginning of our interview, you're not, from what you understand about the governor's spending plan, you're not all that enthusiastic about.
You know, there are some areas that I do have some concern. Two of my priorities, I've been working with this with other members, particularly members from rural Arizona, but creating a new veterinarian school at the University of Arizona. This is something the school's wanted for about 52 years. We're a land-grant institution, and frankly, by the cost savings of not having to send our Arizona students out of state, it'll pay for itself within 3 years. That I do not believe that will be in the governor's budget. She gave us some cooperative extension money. I've been told look for this next year. I'm still going to make a push with some other members to try and get this year. Another thing that I've been working very hard in the interim is the support of the Joint Technological Education District. I was very happy to pass a bill at the last day of session that changed the way and it made it easier to create relationships with businesses. I work with the State Board of Education to do what's called embedded credits, and we got that vote in December, so we can now teach math and career technical education. I do expect one thing to be in the governor's budget. I'm hoping changing, right now we only reimburse them at 91% of the rate. I think that will be in the budget. I don't believe something this community's wanted for a while. We've wanted restoration of ninth grade funding. I don't believe that'll be in the governor's budget, but I actually have a bill that one is the full restoration, and the other just concentrates on what are called CTE concentrators, machinist, automotive, and that'll be about $3 million, but that would restore funding for that.
How about HERF funds, highway user funds?
You know, I'm very optimistic. I don't know if it'll be in the governor's budget. I haven't heard from her staff, but I do know this would restore basically potholes. I'm scared of our potholes. They aren't just potholes. They're massive, scary things that need to be restored. The speaker, and I've been working with him and Karen Fan, the head of the Transportation Committee, has made this our top priority as a House. For example, if we were to restore that funding, it would be $9 million to the city of Tucson, approximately the same to to Pima County. And the rural, like Sarita or Valley Morena, this means so much to them. This is a start, a down payment on improving our roads.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to keep your car in alignment, as I just found out recently as I bought a new set of tires, Sarah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's costly.
One of the things the governor did mention was what you called student success funding.
Yes.
Could you talk a bit about what you know about that and how that came about?
You know, basically, and this is one thing that is going to happen, and I do, as a member, get frustrated by so many court cases because previous legislators didn't do their job in people's opinions, and so we often end up under proposition or court-mandated things. So we're not really legislating up there. We're just kind of push-buttony. And one of those things, frankly, is a lawsuit that was filed under Proposition 301. And under court order, we will increase funding for K-12 by about $70 million in this budget. That's a court order. The governor would like to see more. Mm-hmm. And this became a way, the only political way to get more funding is to tie it to accountability. One of the things, and we've been working on this for about 4 months now, one of the things that was so important to me is that if you talk about it, you don't punish poor districts for being poor, because there's a lot of factors in that letter grade besides the ability of the teacher. And so I actually brought some of our superintendents up. We helped draft the bill, and what we did is we overweighted the growth component. So basically we highly incentivize schools to move from an individual student level to move from an F to an A, regardless of the socioeconomic standpoint. And I think that's a way of getting more money into K-12 and really holding the schools accountable for the use of that money.
What are we going to do about our homeless veteran population?
Well, thank you for asking. That is a huge deal. Veterans has been important to me. I ran a bill last year, and I'm running another bill this year to take veterans as they're leaving and make that transition to the workforce very easy. So, for example, one of the bills I'm running this year, if you have an EMT certification in the military, you would fast-track or automatically qualify for an EMT certification here that makes veterans more employable.
Emergency medical technician.
Yes. And I've also been working with a coalition of agencies to reach out and get them education. I've also built a coalition of community colleges and schools to talk about how we educate them. And then the final thing, and this is a bill that's important to me, I've been working with a group called Missing in Action Project. There's about 800 remains, cremated remains of homeless veterans that are sitting there in the funeral homes that we, as a community and a society, we want to give them an honorable burial. Mm-hmm. And we have volunteer resources to do it. I'm actually running a bill that would give this organization, Missing in America Project, the ability to take the remains and give them an honor guard burial and at a veteran's cemetery. I believe if someone served this community, that we need to honor them, and this is my way of doing it.
I agree. We're at the 2-minute warning, staying with the sports analogy, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. With the governor's primary coming up, it's well underway. We have, I think, 5
yes.
candidates.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. You just never know.
Yes.
And possibly the governor trying to run for reelection. You talked about the comedy and the kind of goodwill right now in the Republican caucus. Do you see that continuing, and what's it going to mean as different members kind of divvy up who they support and which ideological bent that they go behind?
You know, I think the good thing, I don't think the gubernatorial primary will affect our caucus alignments, because what you're going to see is basically a lining that may not be along the existing fissure. So you may have someone that voted for the Medicaid and someone that voted against the Medicaid, both supporting Ken Bennett or both supporting Doug Ducey or Al Melvin. So I think it's going to be a very different set of factions. And really, those alignments are going to start taking place much later in the session. I mean, we're looking at trying to hold everything together now, but people aren't going to be really thinking about this until April or May. And the reality is we're all politicians. Most of us are going to be focused on our race, not someone else's.
You had a picture taken with the governor,
yes.
Nice picture that was on your Facebook page. What do you think she's going to do? Do you think she'll make an announcement in February about her political plans? Or?
I don't believe she's going to run for re-election.
Okay.
I think if she was, there was a lot of other things that would have happened behind the scenes. And now with Scott Smith, who's politically aligned with her getting in the race, I really think it's unlikely.
Yeah. All right, Ethan Orr, thank you very much. Good luck with the legislative session.
Thank you, Bill.
And we'll get an update from you in the coming months. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One of the leading civil liberties advocates in Congress, not impressed with the changes outlined today by President Obama in the government surveillance programs, Republican Senator Rand Paul says he'll continue to challenge the NSA's espionage programs. 17 people involved in New Jersey Governor Christie's administration or his reelection campaign are getting subpoenas for documents that could shed some light on who was behind the plot to create traffic jams and whether it was aimed at settling a political score. The UN's top human rights official says the conflict in South Sudan has turned into a horrifying human rights disaster, with mass atrocities being committed by both sides. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 72 points, and NASDAQ down 14. More details at srnnews.com.
This is exactly how you found him. Mr. Harper, would you mind if Dr. Watson has a look at him?
Not at all.
Thank you.
One of the lumbar vertebrae, the third vertebrae.
Thank you. Simple as ABC, isn't it?
Not all things are as easy as ABC, but there are many ailments that can be treated with chiropractic care. Hi, this is Dr. Watson with Chiropractic USA. Did you know that chiropractic care can help with migraine headaches and high blood pressure? With natural chiropractic care, we go to the root cause of your headaches and high blood pressure without the side effects of other costly treatments. At Chiropractic USA, we can also help with dizziness and equilibrium problems, because 85% of the nerves that help us adapt to our environment are behind your neck at the base of the skull. If you want a natural alternative to your health challenges, call Chiropractic USA for an appointment at 818-7788. In most cases, referrals are not needed unless you're a VA veteran. Chiropractic USA, for the well-adjusted life. 818-7788.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Mark Evans joining us now. Mark is the editor of Inside Tucson Business, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. Very nice outside.
It's a beautiful day. Compare that with a year ago when it was like 25 degrees. I'll take this any day.
Yes.
So the governor did another surprise, this time dissolving the Child Protective Services. This is her second year now that she has put up a surprise in her state of the state.
She has an odd way of governing. This is actually the third time she's sprung something in the legislature without. A couple of years, two, 3 years ago, she sprung the increase in the taxes for the sales tax increase for schools.
What's the deal? Just for dramatics?
I guess. I mean, you would think if she's going to do this major piece of reform of such a critical function of the state, that she would sit down with the legislative leaders who have to approve it and fund it and work out a plan for them, rather than just spring it on it so she can get a few minutes of glory on TV news. It just, I applaud her. It needed to be done. I think I think it would be easier to solve problems of a Child Protective Service agency if it is operating independently and not part of the colossus that is DES.
Yeah,
that's all great, and that's what everybody's been talking about for reform for a couple of years now. So good idea. Just an odd way to go about it.
And Sarah, the new head of this organization, that is replacing Child Protective Services is pledging more to be more transparent and thorough. I mean, it's almost like we've heard this before.
A few times.
We have heard it before.
We have heard
Not
it
almost
before.
Like. We have heard it before.
We have. And Charles Flanagan is the person who is leading the CARE team. That's capital K, C-A-R-E. yes, I can spell. Who is the person who pretty much figured out that those 6,500 cases had been just sort of set aside by CPS investigators. A lot of people in the Child Protective Services world think a lot of him. He's well respected. He comes from a juvenile justice background, so I think he's a good person to lead up the charge. But if the legislature doesn't take steps to improve the agency and its resources, it doesn't matter what it's called or where it's placed. It'll just be the same thing with a different name on the building.
You had a Representative Kavanaugh, who likes to tweak the nose of the state's liberals, chime in last week saying that, well, we'll pay for this new agency by raiding 25% of the Children's First funds, the health care funds that are provided by the tobacco tax, and that's how they'll get extra money into CPS. So this all needs to happen. I think there are sane people like the guest you just had on, like Ethan Orr, who will probably make it happen. But whether there's going to be a lot more money going into what is the new acronym for whatever they're replacing CPS with,
Division of Child Safety and Family Services.
Right.
Is there an acronym now on that? Or?
We'll make one, right?
Okay.
The CFSNF or
something.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's still got to get through the legislature. The legislature still doesn't, you know, they're not going to raise a tax. If there's going to be money, then it has to be found money from somewhere else. They're already talking about how the surplus is spent. So everyone wants to spend the $1.4 billion they have in surplus this year, but because of the tax cuts that they've approved over the last couple of years, within 2 years, you know, because the budget is still structurally unbalanced, that all that money goes away, and so they're being very cautious about that. It all is going to come down to whether they spend enough money, and I don't think there's enough money there unless they raise a tax.
And I would just like to reiterate, we spoke about this with Republican Representative Ethan Orr in the last part of the show, that the governor used the word abolished, and people are talking like dissolved, abolished CPS. The function of the agency of the Child Protective Services, whatever you want to call it, is not going away. That is something that I think we really need to keep in mind when we talk about this, because we understand we're talking about a bureaucratic change, but a lot of people who have children in the system and are thinking, and I've heard this from people who work for CPS, that they're thinking, well, when do I get my kids back, because there's no more CPS. Mm-hmm. So I think we just need to be mindful of that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that got abolished was the name.
Yeah.
You write in the Inside Tucson Business, one of your editorials, and by the way, you did a feature piece. It was very nice on our friend Marshall Vest. I think you had mentioned on Facebook it was you're kind of a little bit rusty.
I haven't written a feature story in about 8 years, so
yeah,
it was my first.
But no, kudos to you, because it was nicely put together, and everybody likes Marshall. And,
I think he's been enormously important to both the state and the local economy.
He really has been, and hopefully he'll still have some role consulting or doing something like that. Anyway, you've got a piece, an editorial on Inside Tucson Business, the recession storm is over, time for the legislature to help pay for the cleanup.
Right. So you had the governor, part of her State of the State address was touting her legacy, and that she's crowing about how, you know, the Arizona had one of the worst budget crises because the recession hit us the hardest, and how we've recovered from all of that and we're starting to grow again. And same thing with a lot of the legislative leaders who are running for reelection or running for Congress. They're talking about what a great job they did saving the Arizona budget and balancing the budget. Okay, that's great. But that's like if there's a storm comes in and blows over a bunch of houses, like you get hit with a hurricane. and the people who emerge from the rubble, they're all very, you know, they're devastated at what happened, but they're all very glad that they survived, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they just don't go live in the rubble. They have to fix it, and that means money. And so they've been taking money from the municipalities. They've been cutting the state shared revenues. They took state shared revenue money. They cut the HERF funds, the highway user revenue funds, which created problems in maintaining the streets. They cut the transportation budget for the state highways. So we have horrible infrastructure problems now that all need to be repaired, and we can't do it with the existing funds. They need to give the money back to the cities, right? But there's not enough money to give back to them. They cut horribly the universities. I mean, you've got it now where the University of Arizona is a state-funded school, but only about one out of $5 that goes into that university is coming from the state. And so, yeah, we had a horrible recession. We had a terrible budget crisis. It was a very difficult problem. But now we need to fix, you know, mm-hmm. all the problems that the recession caused, and that's going to take money. And it's kind of a hidden argument for that. We need to pass a tax. Specifically, we probably need to definitely increase the gas tax.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, Sarah, what the governor is going to come up with here concerning school funding.
Yeah, it's something that she mentioned in the State of the State address.
Her economic wish list.
Yes, she called it the student success funding. We've had programs in the past that, you know, tie student funding to what is termed accountability and student achievement. So we need to know many more details about that before we can really form an opinion. She also mentioned something that would be very important to the students and families who have students at the state's universities, trying to make it level off tuition for the 4 years it should take you to get through a public university and get your degree. That's, I think NAU does that.
So, in other words, what you come in at, you sign in at as a freshman, it's going to be the same.
Right. I mean, and I think that's the idea.
Yeah, makes
sense. Some states do that.
But you can still have tuition increases year to year to year to year. It's just those freshmen then will be paying more than the previous students. Mm-hmm. And you end up with this crazy system where you've got just, you know, at University of Arizona, you've got 30,000 students, or ASU, where you got 60,000 students, and you could have any number of them all paying a different amount of money. It's a good idea, but the reason they raised all this tuition is because they cut all the funds to these state-supported schools. And so, you know, the state hammered the university budgets, and so the universities hammered the students. And now she's saying, well, that's bad. We need to have this stability in their tuition. Well, you can have stability in their tuition. Restore the funding to the universities, and they won't raise tuition as much.
Hmm. Professional baseball. Sarah, I know you're a baseball fan, but maybe this is not the kind of baseball that you're used to watching.
Well, it's
a very, I guess, a minor league team from Texas is thinking about coming back to Tucson.
Yeah, this is, and I'm a St. Louis Cardinals
of
fan.
Of course.
Go Cards.
Redbirds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't grow up in St. Louis and not root for the Cardinals. This is an investor group of an independent baseball league that's based in Texas has sent a proposal to Pima County saying that they would like to operate out of Keno Sports Park and put on minor league.
Maybe as many as 72 games a year.
Right. We've kind of, it's everything old is new again in some sense, because Tucson has had its fair share of experiences with minor league baseball and an independent league. So we're going to have to be very cautious. And like we were talking before the show, Mark, High Corbett had the independent team, Tucson Padres.
No, it wasn't the Padres.
Oh, it wasn't the Padres.
It was the Tucson Toros.
They brought
the old name back.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody went. It was like, you know, 100 people went to those games.
Right.
I mean, we had trouble with AAA getting enough people to go to the AAA baseball games. You wonder, how is this United League baseball going to do?
well, you know, it's not very good baseball. It's not like these guys are soon going to be major leaguers either. So the issue for the county is they've got an empty stadium, and the stadium that's sitting there with nobody in it's costing the county money because they still have debt service on it. So I can see them wanting to put a tenant in there. The worry that I would have is that if they choose these guys and they put them in as a tenant, and somebody else who comes along down the road who would maybe have a better idea and be able to fill the stadium and provide more economic development might not be able to get in because you're locked into that contract, or now you would have to buy out that contract to put somebody else in and so forth. But the interesting thing to me was would this interfere with the budding Major League Soccer coming to town, Major League Soccer spring training, and the use of that stadium for soccer. And FC Tucson, Greg Foster, who's the head of FC Tucson, he said, yeah, sure, we're fine with it. Let them come play baseball. We're happy with it. So who knows?
Caller Matthew to the Buckmaster Show. Let's see if we can work Matthew in very quickly. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, real quickly, Mark and Sarah, I hope that you guys are able to take on the issue of the extension of unemployment benefits. I know it's a federal issue, but, you know, here at the local level, if we don't hammer home the effect it's going to have on us locally and on the state, it's going to cost the state $174 million here in Arizona if they do not extend, and they haven't extended, and it's an ongoing issue at the federal level. I hope you guys take that issue on locally and hold our federal representatives and our two senators especially accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well, Matthew, you make a very good point. The extending unemployment benefits is crucial to not only to the people who survive on those benefits, but to the local economies, because if you are pinching pennies to pay the rent and put food on your table, money in goes right back out to pay bills, and that goes into the broader community. It's a really important issue, and thank you for bringing that up.
All right, and thank you, Sarah. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Mark, good to see you. We have your food and beverage columnist coming up next.
Good old Matt Russell. Most read guy inside Tucson business.
Dillinger days and getting a good whiskey at the Hotel Congress. Matt Russell coming up next. We will have Weekend Watch. Stay with us.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
The UA College of Science presents this year's lecture series, The Evolving Brain, Monday evening starting January 27th through March 10th at UA Centennial Hall. Lectures are free and open to all. Now in its ninth year, the UA Science Lecture Series with its distinguished speakers gives opportunity to discover astonishing new insights about the evolution of the highly complex human brain. More at cos.arizona.edu.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Time for the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just three and a half hours east of Tucson to lots of fun. If you love the outdoors, Silver City in Grant County is the place for you. The world-famous Gila Wilderness Area, the cliff dwellings, of course, all the art galleries in historic Silver City, and the wonderful places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest lodges, and all of it is available to find out where to stay and what to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Check out their fine website. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and the columnist on food and beverage topics for Inside Tucson Business. How are you today, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday to you. I'm just getting the car packed. Going to head up to Flagstaff for a little skiing this weekend, so I'm just spending the last hour or two enjoying the perfect weather. I don't know why I'm running away from this today.
I don't know. Interesting, in the column today in Inside Tucson Business, toast a whiskey at the Hotel Congress.
Yeah, you know, as we all know, a fire at the Hotel Congress back in the 30s eventually led to the capture of John Dillinger, and the hotel is going to be doing a speakeasy on January 24th, and in the column today, I take a look at the kind of food and beverages that would be fitting for the famous fugitive. Always a lot of fun to write this column.
What's this about a new pastiche?
Yeah, you know, our good friend Pat Connor is at Pastiche Modern Eatery, has reopened his restaurant after being closed for a couple of weeks for a significant remodel. We're talking new floors, new design, a new bar and lounge, a whole new look and feel for this restaurant that we love. And I say there's no better day than today to get over to Pastiche to join in the celebration of this new space. And there's a great menu for happy hour, Bill, featuring items like ahi tuna sliders and sweet pea risotto cakes. And I think one of the best Manhattans I've had this side of Manhattan. Check out the new improved Pastiche after work today.
It's a great time to watch the sunset and have a little vino, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, a couple of new wines are making their grand debut at an event tomorrow night at Arizona Hops and Vines, just down Highway 82 in Sonoyta. And one wine in particular caught my eye because of its name. It's called The Lobbyist. Now, Bill, as you may know, I served as a lobbyist in Washington for most of the 1990s, which is why I'm quite interested to give this one a try. They call it a peppery and bold Zinfandel that celebrates the audacity to effect change. Sounds like a lobbyist to me. And it's going to be available for tasting tomorrow night along with some other treats. Arizona Hops and Vines in Sonoyta, all lobbyists are welcome.
And if you like a good brew, like our ace producer, Rosemary Brandt, where should you head?
Yeah, how about Sentinel Peak Brewing Company, the new craft brewer in Tucson, part of the new craft brew explosion here. On Grant and Swan, they just opened up last weekend, and three local firefighters have joined together to craft eight beers for this new venture, from a light and crisp blonde to a beautifully hopped IPA called the Haboob. The weather is going to be perfect this weekend to enjoy a lovely craft brew, so check out Sentinel Peak on Grant and Swan.
Have a safe trip to Flag. We'll read about you in Inside Tucson Business. Good weekend, Matt.
Thanks so much.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan, for the better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All the in-studio guests given a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to listen to all the fine weekend talk here on KVOI. Then Monday morning, it starts all over again with Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.